Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me for this broadcast time today. On yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at King Jehoshaphat, a godly king of Judah. And in 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, verse 3, that scripture shows us what Jehoshaphat said when he was asked by Ahab to join him. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, this is Jehoshaphat talking, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Even though Jehoshaphat said he would stand side by side with wicked King Ahab, he did ask Ahab to inquire of God. And in a sense, this was out of order. The reason it was out of order is because Ahab had forsaken God. How could he ask the Lord for God for guidance? Jehoshaphat should have made his own inquiry before the Lord, before and not after he had consented to go with Ahab. Remember, what comes to mind is that episode in the life of the children of Israel when they had just made initial conquest of Canaan, and the Gibeonites came to them and deceived them, and Joshua, instead of seeking the Lord first, went ahead and made a covenant with them, which, you know, generations later they had not only observed in his day, but generations later, because they had made a covenant and had not consulted with the Lord to find out they were really just being deceived. These Gibeonites didn't want to be killed, and they just, you know, had this elaborate plot to deceive them, and it worked because they didn't inquire of the Lord. So Ahab sent 400 prophets to make his inquiry, but they weren't men of God. They were Ahab's yes men, and their advantage with the king depended on their agreeing with him. Now, the devil will always demand your alliance, your agreement with him. He brooks no divisiveness or discrepancies. And in Psalm 66 and 18, that the word tells us in that scripture that if we guard iniquity or wickedness in our hearts, God will not hear us. Our prayers will not be heard. So the prophet Micaiah was brought before the two kings, and he knew that Ahab didn't want an honest revelation of God's will. He had already, Ahab in his heart, had decided to go to war. So the prophet replied sarcastically to the meaningless question, you know, will we prosper? Will we succeed? Proverbs 26 and 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly. Verse 18 and 4 of 2 Chronicles says, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. In other words, have it your own way, for that's really what you want. And then Micaiah prophesied to him what would be the consequences, that Israel would be scattered in the mountains as sheep that had no shepherd. And so often we find this is the spirit of the age in which we're living, not only in the world, but in many times in the church world. If we're not careful to keep the spirit of the world out of the church, we're operating under the same principles, under the same spirit, if you will. And you might say, well, you know, everybody's doing this and everybody is in one accord, so surely it has to be of God. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's of God when God says it's right, and if we do what God says is right. So all 400 of these prophets were prophesying, and they were all prophesying the same thing. There was total agreement. They didn't call a fast. They didn't call for the high priest to anoint them with oil. They didn't spend a few hours on their knees before God. They just got up and started prophesying the favorable report. Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Well, Jehoshaphat still had some spiritual discernment, for he said in verse 7, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him?" And of course, that's where Micaiah comes in. And as I was reading this, you can't help but read between the lines and have this feeling that Jehoshaphat obviously didn't feel quite so comfortable or certain, even though there were 400 of those prophets who were prophesying the same thing. There must have been a question mark in his mind, because he asked, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here? Don't you have one more?" And the king of Israel responded to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one, but I don't want to talk about him. There's one, but I just assume we not talk about this one man." So he stood there, perhaps with his arms kind of folded, looking at Ahab, and said, "All right, there's one left, and his name is Micaiah, but I don't like him." That's what Ahab told him. In fact, he told him he hated him because he never prophesies anything but evil to me. He never prophesies good. And beloved, that's the case today in many situations. You know, if people can get you to compromise, if preachers in a fellowship can get you to water down the Word of God, to get you to back off from the gifts of the Spirit or the power of God or the supernatural working of God, well, then you'll fit in really good. But beloved, what's actually happening is that you are being robbed, and you are doing what God said not to do, but what man says to do. And we have to put our alliance, our heart, in serving God. Jesus spoke and said, "My sheep hear my voice, and none other will they follow." John 3, 4, and 5. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There's yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he doesn't prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat responded, he said, "Oh, let not the king say so." But they nonetheless called Micaiah the prophet. They were sitting on their thrones, both the king of Israel and the king of Judah, arrayed in their regal splendor at the threshing floor at the gate of Samaria, and all of the prophets had been prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made horns of iron for himself, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with this you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed." And all the prophets prophesied thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Behold now, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." And this, as I said, we can see a parallel application for our lives. That's why the word is given. That's why the Old Testament was given. Some say, well, you know, we don't need to look at the Old Testament, just stay in the New. Well, God hasn't changed. His principles haven't changed. And the word says explicitly in the New Testament that the word is given for our examples, for our admonition, that we can be instructed and that we can learn. And so that's what the devil is trying to get many of God's men and God's women to do today, and to stop the children of God from preaching the truth of the word. The devil doesn't want God's people to know who they are in Christ. We hear a lot of a social gospel being preached, that, and you know, of course, if we are fully committed to the Lord, we will show forth our faith by our works. That is scripture. And yet the devil is very subtle. We shouldn't forget the foundational truths while we're concerned and busy about those good things that will help the world situation. I mean, there are many, the religious left, the emergent church, those who are more concerned about, you know, ecological issues than abortion or sin in the church world. They're more concerned about social issues. And it's, yes, we need to be concerned, but not at the price of preaching the truth of the gospel. We must continue to preach sin for what it is, to preach against rebellion against God, to preach that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, about the blood of Jesus. We cannot omit these basic foundational truths from our gospel just because we want to be accepted in today's world. And beloved, as I've shared in preceding broadcasts, there's a move in the church world to align ourselves, to open our arms, if you will, to people of other faith and just kind of embrace them all. You know, we're all serving God, and let's work together to make the earth a better place. Well, beloved, you just can't do that. You cannot mix iron and clay. That's the truth, Daniel's vision. You can't mix the godly and the profane. That's why God says, come out from among her, my people, so you will not be partakers of their sins. We cannot, in deception and misunderstanding, do that which is not pleasing to God. And that's why I'm spending so much time on the life of Jehoshaphat, because he was a good king, a godly king, yet he erred greatly in aligning himself for whatever reasons. The scripture doesn't share his reasons, but it said he made an affinity with Ahab. He made an alliance with Azariah, and you cannot do that. He suffered the consequences of that, as I shared in terms of those ships that were created and built to go to Tarshish. Well, a prophet of the Lord came to him and said, they're going to be destroyed, and that's exactly what happened. It never, he never prospered in that particular plan. So, beloved, we have to understand that, yes, we need to be active. We need to have our works exemplifying and demonstrating our faith, but we have to remember first that victories are won in the spiritual realm. It's not just on the natural level. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, my time is just flying by, and you know, I'm going to pick up tomorrow, and we'll just continue on, and I hope that you'll be able to be with us at the same time. But I do want to encourage you, if you've been feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and you need someone perhaps confidentially, there's maybe not a whole lot of people you can share with, know that no one reads your letters or no one else will answer your letter but me. And what you receive from me is what I sought the Lord for in your behalf. So you can trust that. That's my sacred bond between you and me and the Lord. The announcer is going to give you our mailing address. I invite you to write. I look forward to receiving your letter. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.